Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here to give us some more insight to the Ravens, the guy who covers them day in and day out for the Baltimore Sun, Jonas Schaefer joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Jonas?
I'm doing well, Jody. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for hopping on board. A name that we're probably not mentioning enough when we talk about the Ravens and the fact that they've been the most impressive team, maybe in all of football, certainly in the AFC the last month or so, is Greg Roman, who got elevated to the offensive coordinator position this past offseason. He was part of the staff last year as an assistant head coach, but Marty Morningwig was the offensive coordinator. They decided to go with Roman instead this year. First of all, why that decision? And do you agree with me that what this guy has implemented into their offense has been a major key to their success and that he should be getting more credit for it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He was all the elements of the Ravens offense last year that were successful. He was basically responsible for it. You know, when they ran the ball over 60% of the time and found a way to, you know, win the AFC North and make it into the playoffs, it was largely his run schemes that they were using. And they figured that with his success, you know, molding young dual-threat quarterbacks like Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo, like Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, he would be the guy who could potentially take Lamar Jackson to that next level. And, you know, it's strange to think that a kind of sort of run-first offense like the Ravens is leading or close to leading the NFL in all these offensive categories, but Lamar Jackson's a special talent, and Greg Roman has really found a way to make teams pay when they, you know, overcommit to stopping his legs, and they found a way to make them pay when they don't respect his arm enough. So it's really just a pick-your-poison type situation with them. And like you said, Greg Roman deserves all the plaudits that are that have been headed his way.
Is Coach Harbaugh going hands-off on the offense? I'm a big fan. Knew him in Philadelphia. I think he's a hell of a head coach, motivator, and keeps his locker room and his unit together. But he was a special teams coach, became a defensive coach. Does he just let Greg run wild with whatever he wants on offense?
Yeah, I think he's pretty hands-off. You know, Greg's up on the booth during games, so he's not on the sideline like the Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale is. And I think the only time those streams might kind of cross is when, you know, as in that Seattle game a couple weeks back, the Ravens decided to go for it on fourth down, and you know, Lamar Jackson had that heavy package fourth and four run or whatever it was, and they got it and they scored the touchdown. So for the most part, you know, John just letting Greg Roman do his job, and what a job he is doing.
He's doing phenomenal work today. Oh, by the way, the offense is grabbing all the attention, getting all the headlines as well they should. But the Raven defense has also stepped up big the last couple of weeks. They kept Brady pretty much in check, and today they just shut down the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Who's been the impetus? Who's been the key guy in upgrading this defense over the last several weeks?
Well, I think, first of all, if you want to talk about just big names, it's got to be Marcus Peters, who didn't have a pick six today, which is a bit of a change of pace for him, but has really been just a tremendous addition since coming over from the Rams in midseason. You know, he was talking a lot of smack today with DeAndre Hopkins, and Hopkins had a pretty good game himself, but just with the way that the Ravens were able to bracket the Texans receivers downfield, I mean, I think Houston finished with seven sacks allowed, which is by far the most the Ravens have this season. And obviously that Houston offensive line isn't that great, but for the Ravens to really effectively corral Deshaun Watson, for them to basically force him to not be able to get off, you know, his first read look as often as he would have liked. And it was just really impressive. Matthew Judon had a couple sacks today, had another, you know, couple good stops in the run. And just, you know, Earl Thomas locking things down in secondary, Marlon Humphrey having another solid game opposite Marcus Peters. It's really just a team that relies on its secondary now to create the kind of pressure up front that they want to. I think they held Houston today to 4.1 yards per play, which was Houston's lowest all season, which just gives you a sense of how well-rounded this team certainly looks right now.
How much of a difference has Earl Thomas made? Another veteran presence in a defensive secondary. He's certainly more well-known for his Legion of Boom time in Seattle. But again, another guy who knows what it takes to be part of a dominating-type defense. What has Earl Thomas contributed this year?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, all season the dialogue around him has been, and this has been, you know, remained consistent even up to a week ago or so, you know, like, he's still getting healthy. And despite maybe not being 100%, you know, coming off that leg injury in Seattle that ended his season last year, I think he's played pretty well. He doesn't maybe have the same dynamic, you know, hip, you know, the ability to turn his hips and go get after someone like he did in Seattle. But teams generally have avoided throwing his way. You know, he got mossed in that game against New England with a running back for the Patriots going up and getting a catch over him. But he's got a couple turnovers. He's done well as a tackler. They've used him effectively as a blitzer. So, you know, he might not be all pro Earl Thomas, but what they needed and what they've lost this season, which is a couple of safeties, I think he's really been a godsend for them, helping to you know, keep things under control in the back end when early in the season there was a lot of chaos and confusion.
And a guy who's been there and done that before. All right, so absolutely, you get the big win against Houston. Rest of the sked is interesting because you got a couple of NFC matchups, then a couple of in-conference out-of-division matchups, and then two in-division games to finish it out. L.A. and San Fran, the next two, that would be Rams and the 49ers, before you get Buffalo and the Jets, and then finish out with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. They may be favorite in all of the games because they are at home against San Francisco. Is this team capable of winning 13 or 14 games in your mind?
I think so. You know, they're up to six games in their winning streak, and the last time they won six or more in a row was in that 2000 championship season, the first time they won the Super Bowl. I think that year they finished 13-3. Don't quote me on that, but you know, we're talking about a team that is approaching those heights if they haven't already cleared them. So I think you're right. I mean, I think the Ravens have been underdogs maybe just twice this season. Can't be totally 100% sure, but this is a team that Las Vegas really thinks highly of. You know, Lamar Jackson alone is just enough to give you a chance in every game. And, I mean, they've just taken the past three teams that they faced, including the Patriots. That's the woodshed. So I don't think there's a more impressive team in the NFL right now, you know, considering what New England had to do to just scrap by Philly today. It's a good day for the Ravens when your kind of most iffy unit is your special teams, which has been for so long in Baltimore just one of the hallmarks of a decent Ravens franchise.
And Lamar Jackson slacking a little bit, only 139.2 quarterback ranking, not like the two perfect games that he had previously this year. He is absolutely in the conversation for most valuable player in this league, and that's a fluid situation, goes up, goes down, and the like. I thought he was in the conversation for the first three or four weeks, then they lost the two games in a row, and he dropped out. Now they've won six in a row, he's back in. How is he handling all the attention?
Totally unflappable. I mean, he's just he pretty much handles wins as cool as he does losses. He does not, you know, want to get caught up in too much attention. There's some tweets after today's game where he was photobombing a Ravens tight end, Mark Andrews, as he was doing a call with Deion Sanders on the NFL Network. So, I mean, very much a 22-year-old who's just enjoying this moment. You know, I asked him today if he felt like he was in a zone when, you know, he started 1-for-6, but then he hit 13 straight passes out there today. And he said, no, just, you know, trying to take what the defense gives me, just trying to look out for my guys and find who's open. And, I mean, pretty much everything that he's set his mind to this season, he's accomplished. It's just so strange. On Friday, he did a talk with the Ravens.com people. He did a Facebook Live Q&A, and he said, you know, the next thing I want to do is get Seth Roberts a touchdown. Lo and behold, he goes out there Sunday and throws Seth Roberts a touchdown, his first with the Ravens. So he's really a guy that is tough to put limits on because, you know, whatever bar that has been set for him, he's found a way to clear it.
I was glad to see Gus Edwards have a big game today. I thought he was your key to making the playoffs last year. I know the change from Flacco to Lamar was so drastic, and that was what everybody was going to focus on. But Edwards had a dynamite season for you guys last year. He's not your number one option out of the backfield. Ingram's come in and done that. And, oh, by the way, he played very well today, too. But right. Edwards was back in contributing. What is it about his game that complements Lamar Jackson as well as it does?
It's a great question. It's one I've been trying to kind of consider myself, because he and Mark Ingram, the obviously now the starter, have pretty similar games. They're both between the tackles guys. I think Mark Ingram has a higher gear when he gets out into the open field, but they do feel somewhat complementary in the sense that there are some games where Mark Ingram can't really seem to find the holes, and then Gus Edwards is there to maybe break one arm tackle and take a 3-yard gain and turn into a 6-yard gain, or take a 8-yard gain into a 21-yard gain, because he just gets downhill and no one wants to get in front of him. And he's a big dude, probably like 6'1", 230. And, you know, he was somewhat bottled up today, but, you know, obviously it takes a lot of work, a lot of pieces coming together to pull a 63-yard touchdown against a Texans run defense that's been as solid as they have. So just a credit to, you know, Power Card, the fullback, 300-pound fullback, going out there and clearing a path for him. And then, you know, Miles Boykin, who didn't have a great game as a rookie out there today, you know, holding his block for the last, 30, 40 yards, allowing Gus Edwards to basically run into the end zone untouched. But this entire team is committed to being as effective as it can possibly be in run blocking. And, you know, you see it on plays like that when someone like Gus Edwards can get untracked just with a moment's notice, basically.
I know everyone wants to look forward to what the Ravens are doing and where they're going to finish up and what they can do when they get to the playoffs, but I oftentimes like to look back and see what could have happened and how it might have changed certain things. Last year, Coach Harbaugh coached most of the season without his contract being determined. And yeah. There were rumors about him maybe wanting to go elsewhere. There were rumors about maybe the Ravens wanting to go in a different direction. At the end of the day, yeah, they got something done. It took the entire year without knowing, and he got damn close to being, quote-unquote, a free agent, but he ended up staying. How close was it? As a guy on the inside who's there every single day, did you at any time or point last year say to yourself, damn, yeah, there might be a separation between this coach and this team?
Well, I think as they made their run postseason, I think obviously both sides realized that they were better together than they were apart. But if you remember last season, before that Week 16, that big Week 16 win over the Chargers in L.A., the Ravens put out a statement that said that John Harbaugh would be back for the next season and that they would work together. They would work toward a contract extension. But that contract extension wasn't actually signed until, you know, probably a month after the Ravens season ended. So it was definitely very strange. But, you know, obviously John Harbaugh is the top coach, and if the Ravens hadn't re-signed him, he would not have been a coaching free agent for long. But I think the Ravens, you know, made a wise investment in whatever they're paying John Harbaugh, because he's been, you know, probably, you know, a top three candidate at this point for NFL Coach of the Year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.